Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. It is February the 13th. We are learning the Ilui Nishmas Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoel V'Chana Alav Hashem Meiz Neshama Ben Ali in the merit of our Torah. Also, with your permission, my friend's newborn grandson was taken to the hospital for some testing for an infection. For Shalema for Eliezer Laser Ben Ayala Frida. All should be well. Pesuros Tovos. Amen. So please open up to the Tefillah Al Hadibur and the inside front cover. Let's begin with this, and then we'll start our learning. Ribono Shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha, Al Rachum V'Chanan, Shetezakeni Hayam U'V'Chol Yom, Nishmar Pi U'Lashoni Milashon Hara U'V'Chilus. Azahar Milidaber Afilu Al Yishyachim, Vakal Shekein Al Kal Yisrael, O Al Chilek Mehem. Vakal Shekein Bil Yisraim Al Midosav Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. Azahar Milidaber Divrei Sheker, Chanufa, Machlokas, Ka'as, Gaiva, Onas, Dvarim, Kalbanas, Panim, Leitanus, Vakal Dibura, Asra, Vizakeni Shelo, Lidaber, Kim Dabar, Hatzari, Chilinyani, Gufi, Vinafshi, You call Masai V'Diburai L'Shem Shamayim. Amen. Good morning. Okay, so ladies, we're on page 48, please. Good morning. We're on page 48. I'm at the top of page 48. And we spoke last time about the sin that brings us to Tzara'as. So Tzara'as is a spiritual malady. It is a physical affliction with a spiritual root. And we spoke about the root of the sin last time. We spoke about fascinating passage from Shem Shafal Hirsch about the Nachash and some sort of primordial serpent who got man to sin. We're not going to go over it again. We will start with Usamichle. Okay, so I'm really at the top of page 48 after guard yourself from the sin that brings you to Tzara'as, of course, which is Lashon Hara. Right? Usamichle. And you should also know it is close to their written, Zachar Sashar Sashav Kachel Miriam. You should remember what Hashem, your God, did to Miriam. It's one of the Shayish Zachiris we have to remember every day what Hashem did to Miriam. So I want to tell you, and Hashem really helps, because in preparing for a totally different Shir, came across the following Ramban. Wait 1 second, please. There's Ramban in Devarim, Perichav Hei, Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Ramban to Devarim 25:17. Ramban is talking about Mechamas Amalek. So Zechiras Amalek is another one of the Zechiras you have to remember. Just had Amalek in the last expression. You have to remember what Amalek did to you. You also have to remember Miriam. Okay, Amalek are Rishaim. Miriam is a Tzadikas. It's interesting when you think about it, right? You have to remember Amalek. Okay, we're coming up to Purim. But Miriam is a tzaddikah. So you could think to yourself, in remembering what Hashem did to Miriam every day, Manasvig Lashon Arba Miriam. Think about that. Amalek, yeah. Zachar Sema Shabbos Kacho, okay. I have to remember that I angered God in the desert. That's another one of the Shei Sechir. So I have to understand what I do to anger God. But I'm talking about Miriam to remember Miriam. Miriam HaNeviah, Achos Aaron, as a Tov Biyada, the woman of Nevuah. So the Ramban deals with this. And this is the Ramban again, Devarim Perichav Hei Pasuk Gidzayin. V'chein b'maseh Miriam, so too with regard to the maaseh, the incident of Miriam. He first talks about Amalek, what I'm going to talk about in this class. Nitztavinu lehodia lebaneinu. We have been commanded to let it be known to our children. L'saper bo ledoros. And to continue the telling for generations. Va'af al pisha hayeroi gamla hastiro. It was really worthy to conceal the matter, to conceal what Miriam did. Why would you think to conceal the matter? Well, we just said, Shalal Dabra Big Nusan Shal Tzadikim. You shouldn't talk disparagingly, you shouldn't talk negatively about a tzadikas. So therefore, it's a stira. Shai Talit? Yes, for generations. Aval Tziva Hakasuv Lodiyahu Ulegaloso. The Torah made it known and to publicize it. Kedesha Tihia Azhara Lashon Hara Suma Befihem. Why? To make it known, the guarding yourself against Lashon Hara should be regular in your mouth. Mipnei shehu chei gadol, it is a terrible sin, v'gorem ra'os rabos, and it causes many, many ra'os, very bad things. I'll just tell you what the footnote says. The footnote quotes, I'm reading from the Artsko Ramban, but it's the Lashon of the Ramban, but the footnote, Artsko gives some elucidation, and here the footnote quotes the Gemara. And the Gemara says that someone who speaks ill of someone kills how many people? Three people. We know that the one who is the teller, the one who believed the story, and the subject. Ubnei Adam Nichshalim Bo Tamid. The Ramban then says, man is always Nichshal. Nichshalim Bo Tamid. We are constantly Nichshal. We constantly stumble with regard to the sin of Lashon Hara. Kamosha Amru, as the sages say, Vahakal Ba'avak Lashon Hara. Everyone sins through the dust of Lashon Hara. So even if you're not directly sinning through Lashon Hara, you're sinning through the dust of Lashon Hara, the offshoots of Lashon Hara, the
after effects.
The what?
After effects, like the after ripples.
The after effects. Or like you're in the garden of Lashon Hara. You know, you might not be the tree of Lashon Hara, but you're already around it, you're the dust. Okay? So evil speech that is not gossip, but contains the essence of the Gepharim. So let's just repeat his words one more time. It would have been worthy to hide it, not to speak disparagingly about a tzaddik or a tzaddikas. It should be regular in your mouth, causes many terrible things. This is what the Ramban says. We're always nichshal in this. As Chazal say, everything, every sin is with the avak of Lashon Hara. So that is in regard to Zachar, Sashar, Sasha, Melkech, and Miriam. It's a beautiful question the Rabban brings up, because I never considered that before, and it's true. I have all the Shei Sechira, so here I am talking Lashon Hara about the Tzadikas. That's how severely the Torah regards the sin of Lashon Hara, that even though she's Miriam HaNaviya, the Baalas, and Muna, nevertheless, you should talk about it, because you should know. Very, very serious. Now, of course, we don't go talking about her, that she's a bad person, but talking about it so that we know what we have to be on guard from. Right. Any questions or comments? Good. La'od kama lavin kekorach ve'akada. So, I'm sorry, there are more lo ta'aseis. You should not be like Korach and his Ada. And the Pasuk says, in Baminbar, it's Pasuk Yud Zayin, Pasuk Hei, Zikaron le'Bnei Yisrael. Is a remembrance for the Bnei Yisrael. I'm just telling you, because he brings up Korach. What is about Korach? Well, we know Korach. What did Korach do? What did Korach want? He wants gedula for himself. He wants grandeur. He wants power. Why should Moshe get everything? Why should my cousin get? I also want to be great. You think you're so holy? Everybody's holy. So the Pasuk says everyone should remember. Interesting, we have to remember Miriam, we have to remember Korach Zikaron the Bnei Yisrael, remembrance of the Bnei Yisrael. A strange man shall not offer a fire who's not from the Kohanim, he should not bring Ketoris before Hashem. But then the Pasuk says, Velo yihye kekorach uke adaso. You should not be the Korach and his Ada, his congregation. Asher dibre Hashem b'yad Moshe. So listen to me, that's a lav. Lo yiyeh kekorach, you shall not be like Korach, is actually a lo taseh. Rabbeinu Bachya, there are quotes, Mikan hochichu chazal, kol ha-machzik b'machlokas over belav. Whoever is machzik, whoever is strengthened, whoever continues on in a machlokas is actually like Korach. You are over a lo taseh. If you continue with a machlokas, you're going in the ways of Korach. And you have a mitzvah not to be like Korach and his eder, not to be like Korach. So that is, it's mamash alav from the Torah, not to be like Korach. The divrei gaiva, words of haughtiness, uvuz, vavuz, shaming other people. You know, mutav, it is better, we learn this from Tamar and Yehuda, it is better to be thrown into the kirshan at age Tamar is prepared to give up her life rather than say she was pregnant from Yehuda. Mamish, give up her life. We can't even imagine what that means. Not to be ovei to vodah zara. It wasn't one of the yarg val yavors. They even saying to her, bow down to the idol. You've been given to Znunim, you became a zona, you were a prostitute, and she kept quiet. Vavuz, shaming. Mimashin emra, like the Pasuk says, it's in Sefer Devarim, Hishamar lecha, guard for yourself, pentishkach as Hashem elokecha, lest you forget Hashem elokecha. Hu azhar legasei ruach. It is a warning against a haughty person. Why? Only one who forgets God can become haughty, and only one who is haughty forgets God. It goes both ways. Only if you forget the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're going to be a haughty person, because you're going to think, it's me, it's from what?
It's from yourself.
It's from yourself. And if you think it's from yourself, you're going to forget God. So I'm going to tell her a story. This is really unbelievable. I'm sorry. This is the first time you're joining me. You have to see what it says in my notes. Can you read it? It's very teeny. It's the first time Elisa's joining us. Oh, it says in my notes, I'm not holding a pen in my hand, is Elisa's story, Taylor King. My notes, mamish. So I'm going to share a story that Elisa shared with me, and it's really hashkacha that, Balkan. It's unbelievable the way Hashem arranges things. Here we go. We're talking about Gasei Ruach and being a haughty person. So Lisa shared a beautiful story with me about Baal Gaiva. There was a certain tailor who was commissioned by the king to make a coat for the king. And he was so excited, and he's so great, and of all the tailors in the land, in the 127 provinces, b'chol Medina, he is chosen to make the coat. He puts love into every stitch, he puts pride into every stitch, he's so excited, he brings the coat to the king. The king hates the coat, and the king says, this is a terrible coat. Terrible coat, I worked so hard, how could you not like my work? No, it's not a good coat. Go home, and you're going to be in big trouble. I'm going to give you 2 weeks to do the coat again. But I really don't like this coat. So the man can't understand what happened. So he goes to his rav and he says to the rabbi, Jewish day, what should I do? So the rabbi says, take out every stitch and do the coat again. Do the coat again. He said, yeah, just make the exact same pattern, the exact same material. Take it all out and do it again. So, of course, the good chassid listens to his rabbi. So he goes home, takes out every stitch, and with trepidation, he resews it again. Please, Hashem, don't let the king kill me. Please don't let him put me in jail. Please let him like the coat. I should have the right kavanah. It should be beautiful to the king. I'm so afraid of the basar v'dam. Goes back to the king within the 2 weeks' time, and the king says, let's see what you produced. And he says, here's the coat. King says, it's beautiful. It's tremendous. I never saw such a coat. You're the best tailor in the kingdom. That was the coat. So he goes back to the rabbi. He says, it was the exact same coat. The first time I saw it, the second time he says, so the rabbi says, the coat was the same, but you were different. The first time you had the kavana, the intention, I've been chosen. I'm so great. Look what I've done. The king wants me. The second time you were quaking in your boots, and with every stitch you were davening to Hashem, please let me have the right kavana. Let the coat work out properly. Let the king like it. Let my life be spared. Yes, the coat's the same, but the kavana. The first time was with Gasei HaRuach, haughty spirit. Grandeur, nose in the air. Second time was with the right kavana. Tremendous. It's also tremendous that your mom is here for the first time, and this is really in my notes. It's unbelievable Hashem arranges things. Wow, talk about Hashkacha. But anyway, if you weren't here, I wouldn't have said your name, but I couldn't not do it because everyone should see how Yad Hashem works. Because it's amazing. Okay, it's also an amazing story, and it relates very much, ladies, to this week's Parsha, which is Parsha's Yisro, because that, of course, is the first of the Seres Adibros. I'm Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Then we come to, you should not have gods of others, don't take God's name in vain, Shabbos, Kibbutz Avim, etc. But the first one is the Anochi. Everything in our Yahadus manifests from the Anochi, the I of Hashem. When Moshe repeats the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Ve'aschanan, okay? It's in Perkei of Devarim, Pasuk Hei. That I'm going to, but right before he begins to say the Aseres HaDibros again, right before he repeats the Aseres HaDibros, he says an interesting pasuk. Right? Okay. Right before, everyone with me? Yeah. Sefer Devarim, Perkei Pasuk Vav is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shosasicha Meretz Yitzrayim Base of Adam. That's the pasuk I just said. We have it in Yisro and Perachav. We have it in Devarim and Perek. Hey, because in Yisro Hashem gives it to us for the first time, and in Devarim Moshe reviews it. But before Moshe reviews it in Devarim, he says, "Anochi omeid bein Hashem uveinichem be'esehi." I stood between you and God at that time to tell you the word of Hashem. You were afraid before of the fire. You didn't go up on the mountain. What's the first word of Perkei Pasukei? I just read it to you. Anochi omeid bein Hashem uveinichem ba'esahi lagid lachem es dvar Hashem. I stood between you and God that time to tell you the word of Hashem. So what does that mean in the level of a pshat? Here's God, kaviyachal, on top of the mountain. We understand Hashem is everywhere. So to speak, the kavod of Hashem descended onto the mountain. Kai Yisrael at the bottom, there in the field around the mountain. And who's the only one allowed on the mountain? Moshe. So according to the pshat, I stood between you and God at that time, meaning Hashem is here, kaviyachal, Knesset Yisrael down here, and then Moshe's in the middle. I'm standing between you and God. And then he goes to the very next pasuk is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm Hashem, your God. So the first one's Anochi referring to Moshe. The second Anochi is referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Kotzker Rebbe has a tremendous var. He says, don't look at the level of a pshat. What is the greatest impediment to Kabbalah Satorah? Anochi. Listen to the pasuk again. Anochi omeid bein Hashem uveinechem ba'es hahi. You want to know what stands between you and God at the time when it comes to getting the Torah? the Anochi of man. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu talking about himself. I'm not talking about the Pshat. The Torah is understood according to the Pshat. We just explained what the Pshat is. But there's a level of Josh, and that's Gasos HaRuach. And that's Azus Meitzach. It's a stubbornness that comes from a hardiness. It's a Baal Gaiva. We just said, Divrei Gaiva. It comes from the Anochi. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm giving you advice for your entire life. Before you can come to the Anochi of Hashem, you have to remove the Anochi. I made the coat. The king loves me. I'm the best tailor in 127 provinces. If you remove the Anochi, you can come to the Anochi of Hashem Elokecha. It's tremendously powerful. So Anochi, Omei bin Hashem v'neichem beiri, it's the eye of man that stands between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael at the time of Kabbalah Sator. All related to here, Divrei Gaiva. By the way, booze, shaming somebody else, stems solely from Gaiva. You can only shame someone else if you think you're better than them. If you're the same as them because you're both Jews and Hashem loves you, then there's nothing to shame.
But I feel sometimes people don't feel good about themselves, and that's why they put the other person down.
That's the truth.
Interesting.
They're trying to put themselves up.
Mm-hmm. By putting, they lack self-confidence.
That's true.
That's
also
a form of
guidance.
That's true.
Okay, one second. I'm going to come to your comment in a second. Sometimes you're saying people lack self-confidence and therefore by denigrating someone else can make themselves feel better?
Yes.
And what did you answer to that? Because
I
think it's a very astute comment. I think it's a different form of gaiva. Perhaps it's, good morning. Perhaps it's a, why are you saying that?
Huh?
Why are you saying that?
Because gaiva is trying to make yourself feel better. It's all about you. So it's not about your fellow person. So if you're pushing the other person down to make yourself feel up, it's no matter how
so
big you're feeling,
make yourself feel better.
Yeah, but I just,
one second, Lise. I'm going to take your comment. But did you hear what she just said? Because I think it's true. One second. Gaiva is a different a way of making yourself over somebody else. So it's just a different approach, really, to elevating yourself over somebody else. The end result is by putting someone else down, or by shaming somebody else, or by the Itzanus, which are all things the Mechaber speaks about, the Mechaber being the Chavetz Chaim, you're in essence putting yourself up. Even though I hear what you're saying, there are two different roots to the same sin. That's what we could say. One root is a person who really thinks it's my way or the highway. I am the best thing since Adam, literally, and therefore everyone else is inferior to me. Or I'm not so geschmack, I'm lacking, but they're lacking even more, and therefore I'm going to put them down. But the end result is I'm better than them.
It could really be, I think, both ways. Like in the story of Haman, he, you know, when he came into Paro, he thought he was the one, that Achashverosh wanted to honor somebody, and he thought, oh, he must be talking about me, because he was so gaivadik.
Who, Haman?
Haman. But then when he would come out and see Mordechai not bowing down, if he was felt so secure, then he wouldn't care that Mordechai wasn't bowing down. Mm-hmm. But because he had that low self-esteem also,
he even uses the word, he says, V'choza einenu shova li. All it's worth nothing to me. V'chol eisa sharen ani ro'es Mordechai Yehudi. Okay, very nice. Yeah, Shane, do you want to say something also?
I was getting dressed and I was watching the news this morning, and there was this little boy, they were talking about bullying, and this little boy, he was so cute and he gave such good advice to the children. They had like big signs that you should wake up in the morning, look yourself in the mirror, say, I love myself. And this way you don't bully, like if you love yourself and you care about yourself, so that's why you can look at different, he was saying, then you don't have to put people down and be a bully. So
unfortunately,
you know,
it's a problem that, like you
that,
lady
you
said,
that
it's still.
You love yourself too much and you think you're so great, but I agree with you, because if you think about verbal abusive people or men that they say, they put you down to the floor.
Because they have a problem with themselves.
Feel, even though they're not happy with themselves.
But it's still to make themselves feel better. And that's a form of gasus ruach. Let's go, ladies. All absolutely, yes. All absolutely MS. And what's so interesting,
too much of anything is never too good.
So we need a balance of everything. And what's interesting is that the Chavetz Chaim incorporates all of these ideas into Sefer Shmir Salashen, which teaches us how far-reaching Koach HaDibur affects so many different areas of our lives. And we reiterate it, I think, every class. The Sefer helps us understand that Shmir Salashen, guarding your tongue, is not the way we typically think of guarding your tongue. Okay, let's go. And one who denies that he has in his possession something that belongs to his fellow Jew, you know, do you have it? I don't have it. Overall, he is also over. Lo techachashu ish ba'amito. You shall not steal, falsely deny, or lie to each other. So you shall not steal. So that too is in the category of Shmiras HaLashon. It's very, very interesting because you end up denying that you have what belongs to somebody else. And it's fascinating how many areas of living and Ben Adam HaChaveru make it into the category of Shmiras HaLashon. This is the biography of Rav Moshe Tversky. We're talking here about don't hold back in your hand what belongs to somebody else. So this is Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yikom Damo's biography. So one of his sons relates as follows. Rav Avram Tversky relates the following vignette. Once my father and I went together to get haircuts. My father went first. Yeah, I talk about Ish Halacha. It's just his whole life, every split second of his life, as well as the Halacha the men. Instead of waiting for, so his father, Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yikom Damo, had his haircut. And then his son was going next. Instead of waiting for me to receive a haircut and paying for both of us together, he jumped up as soon as his haircut was finished. He whipped out his wallet. He took out a 50 shekel note. He quickly placed it in the barber's hand. 1 minute before sunset, he says, the Torah says, on that day, you must pay the wages. Therefore, he didn't want to wait till the sun. Of course he was going to pay, but he didn't want to pay for both. His haircut was done. It was a minute before sunset. He had to be paid that day. Not only did my father know all these halachos fluently, but fulfilling them had become a basic instinct without any compromise whatsoever. So it is holding something back in your hand, denying that you have what belongs to somebody else. I don't have your money, but I just finished the haircut. So look at the lengths we must go to be so careful in all of these areas. It's frightening. Let's do the best we can. Just reading Rav Elimelech Birmir over Shabbos Torah Wellsprings. And he says, the Eitzer Hara doesn't desire sin. We spoke last time. If you weren't here, you can access the Shira Mayuto, the root of sin. We spoke about the Nachash, who was the first Eitzer Hara. It says, the Eitzer Hara does not desire sin. He desires the disconnect that comes as a result of the sin. The disconnect from who? Ribbono Shel Olam. The sin is a byproduct of the fact that you are not as connected to Ribbono Shel Olam. And if we apply it to Adam and Chava, and their sin was Lashon Hara, it began with Lashon Hara of Chava and the Nachash, it's exactly what happened. Because Vayishmus Kol Hashem Elokim Mishalach began the Ruach Hayom, immediately after the sin, they hear God walking in the garden. God's walking in the garden. So there's different interpretations. Rav Pinchas says his, Salvechik says, he quotes Chazal in the Medrash, Hashem is leaving the garden. Why is Hashem leaving? Because they sinned. So it's exactly what Biderman said. The Eitzer Hara doesn't want the sin so much. But what comes after the sin is that you're disconnected from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the place of Lashon Hara, that's exactly what happens. I read an unbelievable story. I was going to save it for a different shiur. I might come out in a different shiur again. I just read it on Shabbos. Chaim Walder writes it in Kids Speak 9. They're excellent books. I buy them for my kids, but I also buy them for myself. The last story is on, I'm going to tell you what it's called. The last story is called Who Will Daven? We're talking about the same mouth that's used to deny falsely, that's used for leitzanus, that's used for booze, that's used for gasus aruch, that's used for chis and lashar. Now comes to Hashem, there's a terrible disconnect. Bam's your tefilos. So he writes an unbelievable story. If you're not familiar with the series, kids in Israel write in their stories to him. And he chooses which ones to publish. We manage to have all of them. They're very, very, very good books. He also has People Speak, which are also very good. So there was a girl named Rifki. This was an 8th grade class. And Rifki had cerebral palsy, and physically she had many challenges, but mentally she was 100% okay. She was coming to a new class, child with a disability. So the teacher prepared the class, we're getting a new girl, Rifki, she used to be in this school, she has some challenges, she's in a wheelchair, she had many friends in another school. And Rifki came to class, and the first couple of days they stayed away from her, and after a while, talking about leitzanus, gaiva, gasus haruach, they started to tease her. Some of the more popular girls started to tease this Rifki. It became commonplace. And a few of the quieter, less popular girls said, maybe it's not right. But the popular girl said, who are you to speak up, Shandy? That's what once you said in our class. Shandy, if you tell people not to talk Hashanah, they say, oh, who are you to tell us? Don't be so religious. So they started to make fun of Rifki. So it became commonplace. So the teacher tried to explain to them, Rivki's very pained, she's going home crying. Inside, she's a normal girl. Just outside, she has some physical challenges. We have to accept that. So for 2 days after that, the girls would be nice to Rivki, and then the teasing would start up again, and Rivki was in a terrible state. Teacher tried to explain something, but nothing she explained to them worked. She gave him extra homework assignments, nothing worked. It was quiet for a couple of weeks, and the girls thought the teacher forgot, and they continued to make fun of Rivki. And one day, the teacher came in, unbelievable. And she's, I read it Shabbos morning, and she said to the girls, today we're not davening. Open your Navi. We're starting straight with the lesson. And the girls were shocked. You know, in eighth grade, and my daughter's in eighth grade, in eighth grade, a really mature girl, can I know her? And the girl said, what are you not davening? She says, Hashem doesn't want your tefillos. They're making fun of Rivki. We're not davening. And she started to teach the Navi, and the girls didn't know what to do. They were so taken aback. They were just sitting there. A few girls started crying, and she started to teach. And she chose to teach about Navi. I don't know the story. I mean, I wasn't really planning to tell. It was a part where the Navi speaks about abusive speech. We're not davening. Can we daven? No davening. She continued to mamish teach. So the girls were very taken aback. So she stopped the lesson and said, I want you to know I didn't make this decision on myself. I went to the Gadol Hadar. I went to Rav Steinman. It's a Gadol Hadar. And I told him the situation. And he said, girls who use their mouth to treat somebody else like this are not allowed to daven. Not allowed to daven. He said, there's no tefillah. And the girls were so upset, they were crying. She continued to teach the lesson. After a little while, she says, I'm going to leave the classroom now. I'm going to give you some time to think about how you want to approach the subject. They wrote a letter to Rivki. They apologized. But the girl who writes the letter in says it was the most sobering experience in tefillah and in Bein Adam Chaveru in their life. And I think it is extremely relevant to our learning here. This isn't a halach psak, obviously. But we have to consider the disconnect that comes between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam when we are disconnecting Bein Adam Chaveru. And the same mouth that is used to shame somebody else and to speak Lashon Hara about somebody else, to speak Gaiva, to be like Korach and Hazeda, to be like Miriam Hanaviyah, Miriam Hanaviyah. It's not Hashanah to talk about it. The Raman says, no, you have to know. The same mouth then comes to Ribbono Shel Olam and says, Al Shalom Yerchab Rachmim Tashuv. And it says, Semech Davi Avdecha, Modi Manachnu Lach, Rifa'enu. So I have to think, God wants to hear this from you. But 2 seconds ago, it was being mean to somebody else. Whatever the root of the gaiva, either because I feel better than them and I didn't forget to move my Anochi, or because I feel inferior to them and it leads me to feel better. What?
You can't talk. It goes back to the same thing.
You have to talk. It has to be with... It's interesting. Rav Tversky spoke very little, and he didn't have to talk. He had to talk very little. In fact, he had to once write a letter to a Talmud. A Talmud once had a different position on him in a certain Tosfos. They had a disagreement or whatever. And Rav Tversky wrote him a letter about why he was wrong. And the Talmud realized he was afraid... The rabbi was afraid the boy would be embarrassed. So he wrote him a 2-page letter on why he wasn't right instead of telling him to his face. Okay, let's try and finish. No, we have time still. But afilu, okay, so lo techachashu ish ba'mi, so you shall not deny holding something false, you shall not hold back wages. Excuse me, we just saw the story of the barber. Even if you're lying in a general sense, so now we're coming to sheker. You're lying in a general sense over al midvar sheker tirchak. You should stay far away from sheker. Rav Moshe Tversky, he once said in a shir that he wanted to get to a certain place in the Gemara, including a tosfos. And when shir was over, he hadn't done the tosfos. So a few talmidim heard him quickly going through the tosfos. So they say, Rabbi, what are you doing? So he says, I'm not sure if I said belineda. And I said, we're going to get to this place in the Gemara with this tosfos. And therefore, I have to finish this tosfos. Midvar sheker tirchak. Rav Zusha of Mi'anipoli says, what does it mean, midvar sheker tirchak? Talking about this ties in exactly to what Rav Biederman says. Sheker makes you rachok from Hashem. Midvar sheker, a word of sheker, dvar, word of sheker, makes you tirchak, makes you far away from Hashem. And in the very first pasuk of the Torah, the only nukuda that is now there is a shuruk. The usam bereshis bara elokim es hashemayim v'esarts. There's no u, 3 dots, shuruk. Because if you scramble the letters of shuruk, it is shakar. And there's not even a semblance. There's not even an avak, a dust of shakar in the foundation of Torah. Any questions? There are two or more chamur, serious yisurim shetuluim bekoach hadibur that are contingent upon koach hadibur, and they are ka'as and leitzanus. Leitzanus, I believe we've been speaking about mocking somebody else, and it's just, this is a very important paragraph. The whole sefer is very important because so far he has not yet spoken about lashon hara in the typical way that we imagine lashon hara. Ka'as, become angry, so you're over. Yisurim chamurim. It's not just you're over. It is a chamur. It is a serious isser. Shatulim b'kol chadibur, and that is kas, somebody who is ko'e, says the Gemara, kilu oved avodah zarah. He loses his faculties. And we quote of Baruch Lichtenstein many months ago. Baruch Lichtenstein says it's because he gives himself into something else. Instead of being meshubet to Rabbeinu Shom when it comes to kas, he gives himself over to the kavas. Furthermore, late sanus, which is mockery. Heni machlas, Robertson Heni machlas, alal sham, talking about, you know, mocking, making people feel built up or people feel built down. Of course, late sanus is one way to make a person feel, I think you used the word like dirt, I don't remember what you said, very, very low. When she would come home from a PTA, she would give the kids the reports. She wouldn't tell them what the teacher said. If it was negative, she would tell them what she thought of her children. And what she thought of her children was very wonderful and building up. Now, obviously, there's a way to be mechanech our children and to give them the necessary mussar, but it's a strong point to bring home. She would tell them how wonderful her children are if the teacher had said something negative. Also, talking about Leitzanus, one of the most powerful stories in the book. One second, please. I'm just turning. Okay. So the author writes, Asar Yocheved Rigler, I'm quoting, quotes, out of all the hundreds of stories I've heard about Heni Machas, the most powerful story is the shortest. And we're talking here about Leitzanus. An extremely disturbed woman used to come to Heni. Like, she writes this, I'm uncomfortable even saying it, but that's how she writes it. Like, I don't like saying this. Like a freak in a circus sideshow. It's not such a nice thing to say. She was obviously an extremely not normal woman. She had a beard and a mustache. Rabbi Malchus described her as, quote, one of the most troubled people who ever came to this house. A few months after Heni died, this woman came to a Shabbos meal because she smelled. No one wanted to sit next to them. No one wanted her to sit next to them. So Rabbi Machas invited her to come sit next to him. During the meal, she looked at Rabbi Machas and she said, quote, your wife told me that I'm very beautiful, and your wife told me not to commit suicide.
Oh my God.
The lengths that we have to go to, not to not mock somebody, but to build somebody up. Whereas Leitzanus brings somebody down to the lowest depths, the opposite is using Dibur to give somebody a life. And it's all in our hands. Maves v'chayim b'yad halashon. I think I say every class, we need this class every day. It's true. I'm down to myself. V'al b'parashas tavo, arur maka re'ehu b'seser, cursed is the one who strikes his friend in secret. And the pasuk says, and Rashi says there, it's talking about one who speaks lashon hara. Okay, I'm just going to confirm inside. Shehu kai alashin her. It's talking about lashin her. That's Rashi. Chavetz Chaim is quoting Rashi, who's quoting Chazal on that pasuk. Maka re'ehu b'seiser alashin her hu omer. Okay, it's talking about lashin her. So one who strikes his re'ehu in seiser. Why in seiser? Because you think nobody knows, and you think that it is secret, and nobody's ever going to find out. Shukaya, Lashon Hara. By the way, for those who learn with me Shari Wednesday night class, it also goes on Mayu Torah, we spoke about the Shorash of, was anybody there when we spoke about the Shorash of friend? There's different Shorashim for friends. Okay. The Shorash of Vahatlarecha Kamocha, Re'acha, it's not Yadid, it's not Chaver, it's Ra. The Shorash of Vahatlarecha Kamocha is Ra. So what, are you with me? Don't mm-hmm. should love your friend as you love yourself. But what word is used for friend? Ra, bad. Right, it's very interesting. So what's the psha? Should love your friend as you love yourself. Even when you perceive your friend as bad, probably isn't beautifully to our learning here, by the way, even when you perceive your friend as bad, as negative, as having harmed you, don't lash out with lashon hara. You should still love them as you love yourself. It's easy to love your chaver, chabura, close companion. It's very easy to love your yadid, your beloved. It's not so easy to love your re'echa. It's not so easy to love the friend who has some elements of ra in your relationship. That's who the Torah has to tell you to love. The reason I bring it up here is because if you know in Parshas Kisavo, Arur Maka Re'ehu B'Seser, you wouldn't strike your Yadid in secret. I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara about your Yadid. You love your Yadid and your Chavir. But who are you dafka going to lash out against? Re'ehu. Okay. Shukaya Lashon Hara, we just saw Rashi, V'yadua Shekol Ha'arurim Pashu B'Bracha V'amru Baruch Asher Lo Yaka. That the curses, this is when they stood in Har Grizim and Har Evil, the curses begin with Bracha. There was Brachos and there were Kalas. Haresha Hazir Bazat Tielo Bracha. If you're careful with this, you'll be worthy to be blessed. But come at Sarich Lios near Ashvanifcha. What time is it? Okay, a couple more minutes. How much you have to be near Ashvanifcha, trembling and fearful? Kesha Yiz Kesha Avar Al Kol Eilu B'Mei Chayiv B'Sha Nefesh. You wantonly transgressed all of these through the course of your life. Vina Yitha B'Midrash Parshas Kisavo. I don't know if I start this now. Okay, let's go through this. Oh, this is what we're going to do. We have 10 minutes. We should go to the Sefer Chavetz Chaim. Okay, let's do it. V'kamet tzarich lios nirash v'nifchad k'sheyizko sh'avar kol eil b'mechay b'shan nefesh. I wantonly, without consideration, transgressed all of these categories in days of life. Who could say, we just saw the Ramban. The Ramban says, everybody is tamid nichshal. Who could stand up and say, it wasn't me, I didn't do it. It's not true, it's not emes. Midvar shakar tirchak. You have to stay away from falsehood. And it says in the Midrash, Amar Rabbi Levi lo hayat tzarich HaKadosh Baruch Hu litenes haTorah liYisrael. Interesting, Matan Torah, this week's parasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to give the Torah to Israel. Shekfar hu asid lomod imahan la'asid lava. Because in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to learn Torah with us. Quoting the pasuk from Yeshayah, V'kol banayich limud Hashem. In the future, you know, if Salvechik says something so beautiful about teachers, he says people think they're teachers. I'm not saying as eloquently as him. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he says there is one teacher, capital T. He is the teacher, and that is Hamalame Torah L'Amei Yisrael. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the future, we're going to learn directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ela, kadei she'edu be'ezah parsha hu asa gogodes. Gave us the Torah. We have to know which parshas he is learning. The Ribbono Shel Olam is learning. The Lefiza Osam Ha'Nashim. And according to this, those men, Shabishat Nefesh, him over Mal Isr Lashon Hara Rechilas, wantonly, without regard for their soul, they are or without regard for someone else's soul. Never mind their soul, that they clearly don't have regard for, but the other person. They are over on the Isr, the prohibition of Lashon Hara, Rechilas, and all the other Chalki Diburim Harsurim, which we have been going through. Ve'einim Mekabim Al Atzmon Lisham Rezad, they don't even, this is an important sentence. They're not mekabel to guard against it. It's not a guarantee that just because you're mekabel, you're going to be successful, but at least you're trying. The first step is to be mekabel that I want to try to be better. Kama boshas, how embarrassing, uchlima and shame, yispu, they will bear, kishe agiu le parashos elek. When you come to these parashos with your Ribbono Shel Olam in the future, and you're sitting before the teacher, and you come up to the pasuk says Mitzvah Sheker Tirchak, and you come to pasuk Arur Maka Re'ehu B'Seiser. How are you going to feel? You come to the pasuk Lo Tiyeke Lo Yek Korach V'Ka Adaso. You come Aleim Akasu Uniktosem Bifneichem Bechora Oseichem Asher Asisem. You will judge yourselves to be cut off for all the bad you have done. Again, cut off. Why do we say, Rabbi Biederman says, the greatest consequence of sin, of the Yetzer Hara, the greatest desire of the Yetzer Hara, is not necessarily to get you to sin, but it's to cut you off. It's the disconnect that comes from being with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I'm going to read, I wanted to share one more vignette at the end of that paragraph. And then Baruch Hashem, we did more than a page today, and a lot of other insights. Very good. One time, and this is halachic actually, this is moving into the realm of the halacha, even though again we don't paskin halacha here, but just a vignette of Moshe Tversky, sometimes you need to speak Lashon Hara. And that is actually what the Chavetz Chaim Lesson a Day is going to bring up in the first halacha, and the topic is to'alas, constructive purpose. So there are times where for constructive purpose, something is used. You must consult a Rav. Don't bring up Shadichim, it's its own Shaila entirely, and each Shaila is its separate. Based on the rule that one, okay, before I tell you Rav Tversky, I'm going to tell you what's in here, Chavetz Chaim Lesson a Day, and then I'm going to go back to Rav Tversky as an illustration.
We remember Miriam, the to'alas, it's for constructive purpose.
Very nice. Beautiful. construct the purpose to Alice, remember, but we shouldn't pass on while we should go around remembering. But yes, very nice. Based on the rule, one must endure social and financial loss rather than speak Lashon Hara. You have to be prepared to endure social loss and financial. It would seem there should be no halacha justification to ever speak Lashon Hara. However, halacha does permit constructive statements to be made at times. All forms of Lashon Hara fall under one of two categories, either derogatory statements, we understand that, or statements just have the potential to cause harm. So perhaps we can understand those are more the avak Lashon Hara. Derogatory, outright, lamaisa, you spoke Lashon Hara, you spoke Leit Tzaddis, you spoke Kas, you spoke Sheker, you spoke Chanifa, you spoke Gasus HaRuach, the Anochi is there. But then there's the avak Lashon Hara, which is what the Ramban brings up. And that is the dust which can potentially cause harm. So it's not outright causing harm, but it's questionable. Derogatory speech lowly, and that the speaker focuses on the negative aspects of someone's character or behavior. One of the most unbelievable things I read in the Hanimachas book, it's hard for me to say that because it's true about everything, is that she said when she goes up to the Olam HaEmes, she had such an Ayin Tova. It's related to, you can either focus on the negative, leads to Lashon Hara, you can focus on the positive, it leads to Lashon Tova. She would go up to Shemaim and she would see people who were being punished and she would encourage them and she would say about a certain person, you said Birkas HaMazon once in your life? That's an amazing thing. Instead of saying this person lived for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90, 100 years and they had 3,000 opportunities to bench and 2,999 never benched, she's going to say, you benched once in your life. It's there. It's the most unbelievable thing. If you can have the Ayin Tova, you speak Tova. There are times, however, when discussing someone's shortcomings is clearly constructive and it's the responsible thing to do. Either when you want to assist the other person you're speaking about or when you're trying to protect others from that person. So there are times when you do have to protect somebody from a harmful or dangerous person. In such cases, though negative traits are being mentioned, the statements do not constitute Lashon Hara. If you're really little Alice, trying to protect either physically or spiritually, God forbid physical harm, God forbid spiritual, moral, Torah harm, it's not Lashon Hara. Destructive speech, listen, this is an important sentence. Destructive speech is Lashon Hara. Constructive speech is not. Similarly, there's no such thing as constructive rechilas. A statement classified as rechilas is always destructive. Okay, so you know what she said about you, that's not Lato Alice. So why did I say I want to share a vignette about Rav Moshe Tversky? It's a perfect illustration of this. One Purim, and we're coming up to Purim. After the Suda, some of the Bachim were lingering behind or helping to clean up. Okay, one of his Talmidim relates this. We were taking advantage of the relaxed atmosphere. We were having an informal schmooze with Rabbi. There were very few times that Rabbi would have an informal schmooze. At some point, one of the boys mentioned a certain individual and started to speak very highly of him. He was extolling this individual's tremendous abilities in Torah. Rav Tversky knew this person, bless you. Rav Tversky knew this person well. He strongly felt his outlook and approach on numerous matters and certain aspects of personal behavior could be very detrimental to young budding Talmidim. This is an exact application of the halacha we just learned. So Moshe Tversky, Shemi Kum Damo felt, in this case, Lashon Hara needs to be spoken, but then it's not Lashon Hara. It's constructive, not destructive, because who does he want to protect? These Talmidim. So in six terse words, it doesn't say exactly what he said, he indicated that Bachim should be very careful what they pick up from this person. So those six words, it's not destructive, it's constructive. When pressed to elaborate, he responded emphatically, quote, what I said was permissible and necessary to say, nothing more needs to be said. So we have to take extreme caution. If you recall, it was months ago when I texted Rabbi Weitz and he replied, and I've quoted it before, there are times that to Alice you could speak, but you have to make sure, but I said not to exaggerate. That it's fact, that it's MS when it's to Alice, and not exaggeration. So if Tversky felt that in those six words, he got his point across, it was to protect the ruchnius state of these young Talmidim. Six words, we don't need to say anything else. Okay. One more. Parameters. The most common constructive purpose which justifies speaking negatively about another person fall under four categories. To help the person about one whom is speaking about, In other words, discuss faults with somebody else to help that person improve. Let's say there's a person who has certain, everyone has chesronos. The person you're trying to help them improve when it's applicable and appropriate, so you discuss their chesronos with somebody else. That's not lashon hara because you're trying, you know, you go to the Rav and you ask for advice. You want to help this person improve their chesronos. To help those who are being adversely affected by the person's behavior. To help put an end to a dispute in which the person is involved and which threatens to divide the community. That's everything we spoke about. Dispute, lo yeke korach, it's a lav, it's a lo ta'asei. Kol machzik b'machlokas, in chazal, whoever strengthens the machlokas is over in a lo ta'asei. Threatens to divide the community because lashon hara divides between people and ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam. And finally, to help others learn from the person's mistakes, which is exactly the chait of Miriam. We remember Miriam not to speak disparagingly about the tzaddikas, but to help us learn from their errors. Ma'ezos Hashem, we should be zocha. Tavolasi yata d'shmaya. Hashem sufasai tiftach v'yagita asecha. I was just listening to a shir last night. I was driving to Brooklyn, so I listened to a shir by Rabbi Penner. The dean at Reitz, and he was talking about Kapitel Nun Aleph of Tehillim, and David HaMelech says, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Yagiti Lasecha, and that is the Kapitel when Nasan and Navi comes to him and says, you sinned with Bathsheba, and the Radak says that for that Kapitel, David HaMelech did not have Nevuah. His Ruach HaKodesh was taken away from him. The Kapitel was written without Ruach HaKodesh, and yet he said, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Yagiti Lasecha, and my parents said, that's dafka why we say when we begin Shemona Esrei, because whatever state the person's in, however low you have fallen, however much you feel disconnected from Hashem, of course, the key nakuda is not to become hopeless. You could always come back to Him. The key to come back is through teshuva, it's through si'ata d'shmai, it's being makama upon ourselves to improve. The Ezra's Hashem should be as chus really for your father's neshama. The Ezra's Hashem, b'derech sh'adam motze leich. Bab molich in also amen v'amen. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
No.
No? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm giving out these flyers. So this